Go ahead, Larry.
When you were talking about this time of darkness that's coming, I'm reminded of what the prophet Amos said in chapter 5. He says, "Woe unto you who desire the day of the Lord, for it's a day of darkness and not light." Then he goes on to say that there's no escape. You run from the lion and a bear meets you. And you put your hand upon a wall and a serpent bites you. So when this day comes, unredeemed people, there'll be no escape from what's coming, from that time of darkness.
I had a couple of thoughts from the message today. I hadn't really thought so much about when you talked about the blood covenant. Like the Indians used to cut the palms of their hands and put them together, to be a blood brother. And actually, I was thinking, well, that makes perfect sense because the scripture says that the life is in the blood. So we have to mix our blood with Christ's blood. So it makes perfect sense. Now, one thing that I have some kind of a question about, and it seems a little unfair to me, that God only the males had to be circumcised. How come just the males? And then also that particular body part, like why wasn't it the skin off our elbows or something? And it made me think, well, we know that that's where most men's problems are, so maybe that makes sense. I'm not sure. But anyway, the other thing was two scriptures came to my mind when you were talking. One of them was without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And then the other one was Peter was talking about overcoming sin, and he said, "Ye have not yet resisted to the shedding of blood." And so when you think about that, to overcome sin, it doesn't actually mean we need to be slashed and shed blood. It means you have to give up, if our life is in our blood, it means you have to give up your life to overcome sin. So all that makes perfect sense to me when I think about that. And then lastly, when you mentioned the young kids shooting their teachers and stuff, what came to my mind was just yesterday on the news, I heard that the state of Maine has decided that any child can come to their state and get a sex change without even notifying their parents. And I thought to myself, my goodness, you talk about teaching kids that you can do what you want. You don't have to listen to your parents. You can be your own person. I mean, it's all just leading its way into all that's going on right now in this world. We are not we us here, but this world is promoting that whole thing instead of kids being respecting their parents and their elders and all that kind of a thing. They're teaching them, like that. There was an old song by the Animals back in the 60s. It's my life, I'll do what I want. It's my mind, I'll think what I want. It's that exact same thing. Anyway, that's what came to me today. God bless.
Thank you, Brother Mike. Now that we're coming into the what should we call it, the 2020s, it just kind of curious. We're coming pretty close to the exact 2,000 years when Christ began his ministry, 26. Not that I'm going to make anything of it, I just find it kind of curious. No prophecies here, guys.
That could be so, though. That makes sense. One last little thought I had was, if our life is in our blood, let's say that you're eating and drinking terribly, okay? So you're just super unhealthy because you're drinking sodas and coffee and eating donuts and French fries and whatever. Let's say you decide, okay, I'm going to change this. All I'm going to do is eat fruit and vegetables and drink water. It takes a while for your blood to change from that. You know, if our life is in our blood and we're eating terrible and all of a sudden we start eating good, it isn't an instantaneous thing. And so it's like, as we feed on Christ and become like him, it takes a little while for that change to happen in our life, you know. So that was just a thought that came to me, that it's a progression. You know, there's that song, I'm changed, changed, changed from glory to glory, you know, and Isaiah says little by little. And I mean, it takes some effort, and it takes some keeping after it. It isn't just, you know, at least in the flesh, it's not a instantaneous thing. You know, it can be in the spirit, I realize.
Amen. Well, if we're a holy place people, Brother Mike, we are feasting, amen, at the table of showbread. It's a continual, ongoing, the privilege of the priesthood, amen. And that feasting on the showbread, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So every day that bread is put out fresh. It's not old bread, old moldy stuff or anything else. And, you know, it just reminds me what we're doing here today as a group. We're feeding on the bread. Each of you that have the word that you're adding to this, it's bread. I'm eating it. What you're sharing, I'm eating it.
Talking about, you know, the covenant in the exchange of blood, someplace I remembered long ago that in addition to that, not all covenants, but many of them would set up stones in the form of eight, and that each member of the covenant would have to walk through those stones as part of the covenant ceremony. In other words, they were saying that this covenant that we're making will be forever. Did you ever hear of that? Okay. Anyway, going back to what the covenant that you talked about, or that you read, Mark, in Hosea, you know, I found that interesting because all the while I've seen these covenants, and, you know, I never realized that was in there. But this is a covenant that's yet to come. After the second coming of the Lord, for the millennial reign, is that correct?
He's not on. Mark.
Mark, where'd you go? Mike.
What? Remind me. What was the covenant he read out of Hosea? What did it say?
In that day, I will make a covenant for them with the beast of the fields and with the fowl of the heaven and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth. And I will make them to lie down safely. And it goes on and on. But this seems to be the covenant that's going to be made in the millennial reign. When people will lie down safely, there'll be no more war.
Yeah, what came to me when you read that was where God originally said that we would have control. You know, you will rule the beasts, you will rule all those kinds of things, you know. So I think that's what he's talking about, is when this covenant truly happens, all those things are going to actually come into place. And personally, to me, I think that is just going to be unbelievably fun and fulfilling and neat. I mean, when you see some of these things where a lion remembers his trainer and he comes up and puts his arm around him and hugs him. And I mean, it's like, can you imagine the animals being like that with us? I'm just going to love it. Tell a bird, come here and sit on my hand. I want to look at you, you know, or tell the pigs, go out and till up my ground. I'm going to plant my garden pretty soon, you know. It's like the animals used to do all the work for man. And there's some places they're still doing that, you know. And I just feel like it's just going to be absolutely glorious, almost beyond our imagination, I think.
Yeah, that's part of it. But I think it goes beyond that. I think it's speaking about the time that's talked about in, what is it, Revelation 20? You know, where there'll be no more war, that no more tears. The whole world will lie down safely.
Yeah, the lion will lie down with the lamb. Amen. The child will put his hand on the asp, and he won't be hurt, and there will do no harm in my what is it, in my holy mountain, or amen. Yeah. So lions are going to have to learn a new diet. They're going to have to learn to eat straw like an ox.
So this will then be the eighth covenant that God makes with man. Up till this point, there's seven of them, which makes sense. But a new day is coming, which will be the eighth covenant here that's talked about in Hosea.
And eight, the number eight speaks of new beginning.
Mm-hmm. And the number seven, of course, speaks of perfection, which is the new covenant that you stated in Jeremiah 31. And that's where we are now.
So everything, all the numbers that we talked about in Daniel chapter 9, they were all sevens.
Mm-hmm.
Seven 77s, you know, is that actually what the angel said to Daniel? 70 periods of seven. So we're coming almost now to the beginning of that clock, when the last half of that 70th week is to be filled out. The clock starts again, mm-hmm. and will conclude when the coming of Jesus Christ himself in his second time. Clocks of God are mystery. They don't, they're perfect, but they don't go the way we think they should go.
You know, to me, I kind of wondered if it's this simple. We know that when Christ was born, that's day one, the first 1,000 years. And so there's been 1,000, another 1,000, and now we just started the third 1,000 in when we hit the year 2000. And we know that Christ on earth was a model of the spiritual world. So when he died, when did he come back? Early the third day. So right now it's early the third day. You know, early in the third day could be anywhere probably in the first 100 years, which right now we're in the 24th year. So it could really be that simple, that when is he coming back? Early the third day, which we're approaching that fast now.
You want to put a day on that, Mike?
No, I don't, but you know, and actually I don't think we need to know, because all we need to know is we need to get ready for it for whenever it is. And it probably will be not too far off, because what we're seeing in the earth right now, I mean, we are seeing it happen right before our eyes. So it's probably going to be not too far off.
Well, history has shown a lot of violence and war and killing and slaughtering, and these wild tribes come riding through the land on their horses, burning every house that they see, killing everybody that they see, just running through for just grabbing whatever they could in looting. I mean, the world has seen these things. Some generations have seen this happen several times in their life. This was gross. This is darkness. But brother, we have never seen the things that we are seeing today, where people are, children are rising up and saying, I'm going to be a different sex than I was born. And the homosexual movement coming to where they're taking over government and demanding that we respect them and demanding that we learn that these are their rights. This kind of thinking has never invaded the thinking of mankind on such a level as we have it now. Oh, they had their violence, they had their killing and looting and raping and all that. That was different. This is something that's going into the soul and the mind and spreading like a virus. Spreading it in their schools, Madeline. That's a spirit. Spirit of, in the children, spreading in the children.
Yes.
But this spirit of homosexuality, not only is it accepted, it's glorified now. You know, society is glorifying, you know, homosexuality.
It's become a plus now to put on your resume.
Yeah, that's right. So, anyway, Mike, I gave you an opportunity to pick the day when the Lord's coming back. So I will take this opportunity to tell you the day. It will be the day of the fullness of time.
Well, I can tell you the exact day. It's given in Matthew 25, or is it 24? In such a day as you think not.
There you go.
That's the exact day. In such a day as you think not.
And just like in the first coming, God sent forth his son at the fullness of time. So that's why we know it will be in the fullness of time. And when we're not thinking, that is.
And the funny thing is, Larry, we're going to, after it happens, we're going to write the date down and we're going to say, oh, wow, this is perfect. We should have known this.
Yeah. It was, we'll go back and say it was there all the time. And I think that it has to do with the days of Noah, because, you know, I've looked at that and looked at all the different dates, all the times it's given back in the days of Noah. And I always thought, why was all these specified, all these different times? And so I think that maybe that's the key. And I tried to figure it out one time and I gave up.
That was wisdom, Larry. You finally came to wisdom.
Yeah, I just think that I wasn't supposed to know until till the afterthought, when I could go back. So I gave up.
Well, let me turn the recording off. I think we're finished.